Weekend Breakfast with Refilwe Mpakanyane
on 702.
And of course, that means we are in the Nature Diary with Tim Nyeri. Good morning, Tim, our resident conservation expert. Every Sunday, you bring us really interesting takes on conservation, what we need to know, what we need to keep updated, what we need to keep up to date with. And of course, today we're talking snakes. Hi, Tim.
Yes, good morning, good morning. I know they mentioned the word snakes. That got rid of half the listeners this morning. Okay, you can all come out now. We're not sending you snakes.
We're not such scaredy cats, Tim. Come on.
No. Snakes, I think, are actually they get a really bad rap. They need a new press agent. I mean, they've got a good press agent in the shape of Johan Marais, but
yes.
For the rest of it, they do need a better press agent than most. You know, you always get these darn things about this snake has just swallowed 6 people and 2 cows and regurgitated a goat. Come on, guys, let's be reasonable.
I think that's probably one of the few animals that we struggle to sort of anthropomorphize and give human qualities to, because we're so desperate to relate in that way to animals. And this was, you know, one of the few that are difficult to do this with. So it means we just need to take a very different perspective when we think about snakes and our relationship to them. But of course, today we're talking the complete guide to the snakes of Southern Africa, written by Johan Marais, who also joins us on the line. Johan, welcome to Weekend Breakfast. Thank you so much for your time this morning and, of course, lending us your expertise.
Good morning. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure to have you here. Tim, before we dive right into it with Johan, just give us a sense of your own relationship with Johan, how far back it goes.
I don't know how far back it goes. I think we were both young. I think Johan might have even had hair at that stage. And, you know, it's one of the interesting things that I've always found is talking to Johan, you get a sense of somebody that has a great amount of respect and enjoyment for what he does. But he's also got this wonderful way of sharing his knowledge. And one of the great things is that Johan doesn't build great things around it. He's very humble in what he does, if I find.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm looking at the Complete Guide to Snakes of Southern Africa, the new one that's come out, as well as there's the old one, which I've also still got. And I've always enjoyed the couple of times I've filmed with Johan. We did some work with a little puff adder one day just to show me just how fast a little puff adder would strike.
Yeah.
And we got it to sort of, you know, it was right at the end of the camera and it was a bit grumpy at the time. And it's the information and the fact that every time I have a question, I go to Johan and I get a really plausible answer. And if he doesn't have an answer, he puts you in touch with somebody who does. And that's what I find also really enjoyable about the friendship that I believe that one has developed with Johan over the years.
All right, Johan, it's snake season due to the warm weather. And as Tim said, well, probably half our listeners have dashed off because we're talking about snakes. But your own fascination, your own abiding work and passion for snakes and understanding them, where does that come from?
It started as a kid, growing up in suburban Durban and seeing the odd snake and visiting relatives on the farms. And the sad outcome was usually that the snake was killed. And no matter what sort of questions one asked, there weren't any real answers. So it really became a major fascination from a very young age, just trying to learn more about them.
Mm, yeah. Tim, go ahead.
Johan, snakes of Southern Africa that you've brought up, besides we'll touch on, I guess, the summertime in a few moments, the differences that you've done with the book, how is it different to the old one? Why do we go out and buy the new one?
Gosh, Tim, it's a very, very different book. You know, the previous edition was published 18 years ago, so it was pretty much written about 20 years ago. And we've learned so much in 20 years on snake, you know, with regards to snake behavior, snake biology, distribution, the first aid, the medical treatment. A great deal has happened. And one of the other things about the new book, the previous edition didn't have a single digital photograph in it. All the photographs are still done on slides. And, you know, so much has happened since then. And to me, it's 10 times the book that it used to be. And, you know, not that I underestimate the previous edition. We sold close to 100,000 copies, which is phenomenal.
I mean, you know, for an animal that somebody always turns around, or a reptile that somebody turns around and says that they're wary of or scared of or don't understand, that's a huge number of books that have gone out. There's obviously a far greater interest in snakes than we credit.
Yes, yes. Now, social media has also done a great deal, made a lot more people aware of snakes. You know, we have on our social media pages, we now have over 1 million people that follow us.
Sure.
So that's a lot of people. And then you have all of these snake programs. And initially, I was actually quite critical of a lot of these programs because it's a lot of drama, and obviously most of these programs, everything is set up. But what we've very quickly realized is that people love these programs, they follow them, and it's made a lot more people aware of snakes and their behavior. Mm-hmm. So while the information's not always that great or that accurate, the awareness is there. And so I think that these programs have done a great deal to get more people interested.
Sure. Johan, you're obviously covering things like habitat and, once again, as you said, the behaviors of snakes, reproduction and food. Can you give us a sense of how many species of snakes we have in the Southern African region that you're dealing with or that you cover?
Yes, we actually have great diversity. We have around 175 different species.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a tremendous, and if we look at the 175 odd, about 10% of them are already potentially dangerous. They're highly venomous.
Sure.
But having said that, if we look at fatal bites in South Africa, we have around 10 to 12 fatal bites every year. We probably have more people killed by bees than we do by snakes.
I guess that's a constant theme in the conversations that you have about snakes. People
always, yes.
Scared or obsessed with the idea of encountering a poisonous snake and having a fatal incident.
Yes, and there's obviously a lot of misinformation and myths and all the different cultures we have, different stories. And I always say to people that in any snake encounter, no matter what the situation, all you need to do is immediately just back off 5 paces. And if you do that, you are perfectly safe and you cannot get bitten. Just 5 paces away and you are absolutely safe.
Okay. Tim?
Now, here is something that I find that I can never get my head around. We've got such an interest in birding always, and we talk about the thousands, literally millions of bird books that are sold. And it ends up with a couple of little pictures, a small amount of information, next bird, please. When you take something like your olive grass snake, Johan, and you put this over 2 pages in this book, and the information that is there is extreme. I mean, this must take you hours, weeks, and your colleagues as well. There's a huge amount of work that must go into here to have watched and looked for the behavior, for example, the habitat, the animal, its diet, etc. How does one go about researching all that work? Because, I mean, again, somebody will say to me, snakes. I don't think in the last 30 years I've seen more than 20 snakes in the wild.
Yeah, and that's a lot of hard work, So I think the first thing that we do is we go through the scientific literature. And we go through all of the scientific literature, some of it going back even close on 200 years. And all of that information is then gathered, but it's also I've been in this game for 45 years. It's 45 years of field work, of experience, of field notes. Every trip that I've done since the late 70s, I have notes. I have meticulous notes exactly where we went, what we found, what they were doing. So all of that has been gathered together and put in this book. And it's a lot of hard work and extremely comprehensive, but the other thing that you have to be very wary of is that you have accurate information.
Mm.
Because people are very easily misled, and what we've seen in the past is people parrot the wrong information. So you see something in a book in the 1960s, there's a note that black mambas eat flying ants, and you copy it, but when you give it some good thoughts, and you look at the literature, and you look at the information that we have on black mamba diet, it's extremely unlikely that they're going to be eating flying ants will. There's reports of them eating maggots going to a carcass of an impala, and they eat, that doesn't happen. So I have to be very careful to exclude that type of information and make sure that what we put in is very accurate.
There is a snake, for example, you just mentioned that I think must really needs a new press agent, the poor old black mamba, because the moment you mention black mamba, it's all over the media, it's all over, it's about to attack people. I don't know if it even attacks motor vehicles, whatever it does. Why does this poor black mamba end up with such a bad rap?
The main reason is just people's lack of knowledge. They don't have the information. Yes, it is a highly venomous snake. It's if you look at the time from a serious bite till death without treatment, it's probably the deadliest snake in the world. It's going to be the quickest death if you don't get the right help. And this fuels it, you know. Having said that, you probably have four or five, or at worst, maybe six black mamba deaths a year in South Africa. But this just gets people going, and the stories just grow and grow. We were training in Kenhardt on the Northern Cape yesterday, and we're talking about the maximum lengths of black mambas. And in the last 30 years, the longest one we've seen is about 3.8 meters. And one of the delegates was telling us about, no, they get 5-6 meter black mambas. Well, we know it's just not true. They don't get to that length.
Fascinating stuff. Johan, Tim often talks about eco-services, the ecological roles that, you know, everything plays in nature. When it comes to snakes, can you give us a sense of what those might be?
Yes, I think, you know, we always try and, you know, people always want us to justify the presence of snakes. You know, why do we need them? Can't we just eliminate all of them? And one of the many reasons, you know, a lot of them are prey specialists. A lot of them feed on very specific prey.
Yes.
But if you look at the majority of snakes, a large number of snakes are rodent eaters. Mm-hmm. And rodents obviously carry pests. They carry parasites. And they can be majorly problematic. You have these explosions of populations at times. And if you take something like a small bird of prey, a little black-winged kite can eat two small rodents a day. Mm-hmm. And that's what they can eat. They can't eat... Now, if you have an explosion of rodents, they can't suddenly eat four or five.
Sure.
They'll become obese within a day or two, and they won't be able to fly.
Mm-hmm.
Snakes, on the other hand, can probably survive on very few meals, maybe 6 or 12 meals a year. But in times of abundance, it's the only animal that we know that can increase its food intake 20-fold.
That's fascinating.
And that's just phenomenal, you know. So they can really make a big dent very quickly. And as their rodent numbers drop again, they can survive on very little.
Yeah. Tim, I'm going to give you the last one.
Yeah, I can just see people putting snakes in their roofs to keep the rodents down. Johan, the book is awesome. Website, etc. People find snakes. They have that information. They need the information. Where do they go to look for it so that we don't have panic attacks with these animals?
Yeah, Tim, I always say any decent bookstore, they can get it online. And we have it online here at the African Snake Bite Institute. So it's very freely available. It's all over the place.
Johan, speaking of the African Snake Bite Institute, very quickly before we let you go, the kinds of services that you provide, obviously all education, the kind of education for the public that you've highlighted and underlined in our conversation. But what are those unique services that you provide as well?
The main thing that we do, you know, we do a lot of awareness and venomous snake handling courses for the members of the public as well. But we spend a lot of time with free education. We have over 130 posters of snakes of different areas, snakes of different cities, game reserves. So that information is shared all the time. We have an app, a free app with over 200,000 people on us, with first aid, with local snakes, with snake profiles. But what we also spend a lot of energy on is that we provide a free advice service to medical doctors. And
yeah.
I was up from 2 o'clock this morning with the Cape Cobra bite in Kimberley, where the patient came in a really bad shape, and we would be able to assist the doctors, and the patient's doing great.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Johan Marais, always a pleasure to have you on Weekend Breakfast. Thank you so much for making the time this morning.
Thank you very much.
Of course, Johan, the author of The Complete Guide to the Snakes of Southern Africa, the refreshed book in English and Afrikaans, selling for 450 rand. Tim, always fascinated by conversations around snakes.
Yeah,
and getting to know them more intimately.
Absolutely. And I think as I go, one thing, please, if somebody is bitten by a snake, don't try and catch the snake and take it to the first aid place or to the casualty room. First of all, you'll get bitten yourself, most probably, and second of all, I can just see the whole casualty room emptying very quickly.
Oh, you've got a flair for the dramatic, Tim. Can you just imagine?
Yeah, you know, popping through with a pipe adder. Oh, come on, guys. That's why there are people like Johan, where the medical guys will phone him. Yeah. They will get the right information. They treat the symptoms, and off you go. Hopefully, a happy person.
Fantastic stuff, Tim. We will chat again next week, Sunday.